Welcome to the Shanty Sound Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Byrne, and to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Shanty Sound, I've started my very own podcast exploring one of my favourite topics, the healing power of music and sound. I'm a lifelong musician, and I've also been working extensively with sound therapy and sound healing for many years now. And I'm guessing that perhaps like me, you're here because you're also interested in all things to do with healing music and sound. Over the last 10 years, both through travelling and the internet, I've met some pretty awesome people, and I'm excited to get to know them even better through these interviews. I'm really interested in people and what draws them to begin sharing music and sound in a healing or therapeutic way, and in learning more about the healing and uplifting effects of immersing in sound and music. So if you do enjoy this podcast, I would love you to hit the subscribe button on whichever app you're listening on, and do feel free to leave a review or a comment. And you can also check out the show notes from this and every episode at shantysound.com.au/podcast. Well, I'm so excited to be here today with my beautiful friend, Beck Calabro.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Yeah, excited to be sharing this time with you today.
It's awesome to be with you too. Yeah. We've known each other for a good 10 years, I reckon.
Yeah, it probably has been that long. I think we met in 2011. Because we were at an event together and we literally just crossed paths because I was on my way out, you were on your way in, and then it was, we might have, yeah, had a few other encounters shortly after that time, but yeah, so yeah. Here's to 10 years.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, oh, what a journey it's been, hey?
Yeah, it has. And we've done some training together back in the day, which we can talk about a bit later.
Yeah.
And you've trained extensively in so many different modalities, and I'm really excited to hear all about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, just to share a little about you. And yeah, as you probably know, and as people listening might already know, that I love getting to know our guests by hearing a little bit about your background. So I'd love to know a bit about you, Beck. Where'd you grow up? Where are you now? And yeah, is there anything in between that you want to share?
So I've always lived in the northeastern suburbs of Adelaide. I haven't really ventured too far from this area at all. I quite enjoy being in this area. I've always been lucky enough to live quite close to Linear Park. So I've always had, even though I've lived in the suburbs, I've always had somewhere to go where I can be out in nature and just around the trees and the greenery, which I find really important for me. And yeah, so even now we live across the road from a beautiful reserve, and it's just like a little sanctuary that's so close to everything but seems so far away at the same time. And yeah, it's nice just to be surrounded by peace and sounds of the birds, and yeah. So yeah, growing up, I don't really have a lot of memories growing up. I don't really recall what I enjoyed doing or what I kind of did with my time. It's not until sort of I, you know, get a little bit older that I kind of have those memories. But one thing that I do particularly remember growing up was always being surrounded by music. Mm. And so I didn't come from a musical family, but we always had music blaring through the house. Yeah. So our home was always filled with music, and yeah, and I just used to enjoy like singing along and, you know, remembering all the words. And yeah, so that was sort of my connection to music growing up. And yeah, interestingly enough, like as much as I love to sing, It was never really put to me as an idea that I could have singing lessons or that I could develop that, or, you know, it's pretty strange to think back, but, cause it seems so obvious, but, yeah, it was kind of something that I just did privately until, you know, until more recently.
And how did you come? So you've had that connection with music, and I think it's such a wonderful thing, looking back on the music that we listen to over different life, different parts of life.
Yeah.
And was there something that brought you into the world of healing music and sound in particular? Was there something that happened that brought you here?
So I think it was actually kind of like predestined. I feel like it was something that was just on my path, and it was inevitable that I was going to head in that direction. I remember, so when I was a teenager, my brother played in a lot of, he played in bands and stuff. And even though I was surrounded by musicians, it didn't occur to me like, oh, I'm really drawn to learning that instrument, or I'm keen to learn that instrument. Yet I knew I kind of had music inside of me. It was like I just hadn't found the right tools to express the sounds that I heard within me. And I had some really interesting experiences that I guess through entering into altered states of consciousness, where I would see myself in other realms, other dimensions, other lifetimes, using sound, offering sound. And I remember having one vision in particular where I was like in this sort of like crystalline healing temple, and my fingers were actually instruments that conducted sound and did all these, I don't know, cool things in the energy field, and they were like extensions of my hands, and it's really bizarre. And it was just this, it was just this vision that I had in like, you know, I was in an altered state of consciousness, but it wasn't induced by anything. It was just, I would have these experiences where suddenly I was being shown things. And that was one of them. And I kind of dismissed those things for a while because I guess I didn't really know what to make of them or what to do with them, but they were sort of there in the background. And then when I connected with my partner, Ben, I remember very soon in our relationship, I had a dream and I saw us collaborating together on a stage, and he was playing, you know, synthesizers and doing all the things that he does. And I could see myself off to the side and I was doing something, but I didn't know what that was. Mm. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. Okay, put that aside. again, because I didn't know what to make of it at the time, because at that time I had no instruments. I wasn't using my voice or anything like that. So it was all a bit of a mystery. At the same time, it felt like something to kind of take note of. And then it was in 2009, I was at a Orosoma conference and I saw a woman. I think her name might have been Anne Wish Wilson. She was from interstate somewhere, maybe like New South Wales. And she had a gong and she was playing it. And I remember just hearing that sound and I was just like, oh, this is just like home. And this voice inside of me said, I can do that. But it wasn't like one of those, you know, like, oh, that's easy, I can do that. It was like, ah, oh, that's something for me, like that's really speaking to me, and I can actually see myself expressing the music within me in that way. And that was another thing where it's like, well, I don't really know what to do with this, so I'll just put it aside. And then fast forward to it would have been 2012. And I was at another Orosoma thing, and at lunchtime we were just having this conversation, and a woman said to me, oh, you know, how do you go living with someone who makes music? You're, you know, so zen and in your zone. Is it disruptive to you? And so I went into this spiel about, no, it makes my heart sing and I love it and da 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 da. And the woman next to me sort of just started rubbing my back to get my attention. And I turned to her and she said, oh, how would you feel if I gifted you a set of singing bowls? And I thought I misheard. I was like, what? Surely, like in my inner dialogue, I was like, oh, she must just be saying one. And I was like, oh, of course, I'd be so grateful. That would be amazing. She'd bought them for herself and didn't use them. And she really just wanted them to go to a good home. And so it ended up being that weekend I went to pick them up. And what was interesting about that day specifically was that it was like the anniversary of a really traumatic car accident that I had. So receiving this gift of what turned out to be a full set of seven crystal bowls kind of just felt really symbolic, especially because crystal bowls, you know, they emit such a pure frequency that's just like, yeah, it just kind of wipes the slate clean, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so to me that was really symbolic. And I brought them home and I had them set up on the kitchen table, I think it was at that time. I just put them there so I could go and play them. And that night I was actually working on finishing up some art for an exhibition. So it was one of those nights where I was just having to work through till I had completed what I needed to complete. And just to give myself a little breather, I'd, you know, jump online, look on Facebook. And in one of those moments, this course popped up, which was for BAST. And as you know, Michelle, like I actually had like a huge phobia about working with sound and, you know, sharing that with people. And so when I saw this course come up, I was just like, oh, I've just received this incredible gift. Like I would be an absolute fool if I didn't say yes to this course. And because it was with Liz, she's, you know, as you know, based in the UK, she was coming here for the first time ever to Adelaide. Like how often do we get an opportunity like that? And so I thought it would just be, yeah, really significant to say yes to that and to really push myself to move beyond the fears that I had and to take that next step. So very long-winded answer.
Great answer.
But, but that's how I came into sound, and it really felt like it was divinely guided. It felt like something that was just waiting there for me when I was ready. And it felt like a beautiful continuation on from all the other work that I'd already been doing.
Just to give a little background, can you just quickly a brief background of, yeah, that other beautiful work that you'd been doing leading up to that?
Yeah, so I work a lot with color therapy and vibrational healing and just lots of different methods of energy work. I mentioned that I was preparing for an art exhibition, so I also create like activation art that's encoded with like sacred language and geometry. And I'd been professionally working as a vibrational therapist since 2007 was when I started my business, but I'd sort of been moving towards that from about 2002. So there's lots of different things that I do. So it just felt like a natural progression, and everything that I did involved a degree of phobia.
Oh, really?
So even when it came to like my art and sharing that, like it took so much courage to kind of break through and actually share that with people, because I'd been very inhibited, I guess, in that way, and all these different things that I kind of worked with felt like a reclaiming of skills and knowledge that I'd, you know, developed in other lifetimes and you know, past experiences. So for me, working with sound was like that final reclamation, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and amazing to hear about you being gifted those bowls on on that particular date as well. I got shivers and cold shivers when you said that. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really was. Like, you know, you just get those moments where you just have this like knowing of, and everything kind of feels like it's in its place and kind of meant to be. And Yeah, and my crystal bowls had babies and they gave birth to all these other instruments.
Yeah, that happens, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So we met during that BAST British Academy of Sound Therapy first training in Australia.
Yeah.
And it was a really wonderful training, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so good. I think, you know, I feel so grateful that I kind of began my journey with what I believe to be some of the best training that's available. Mm,
yeah.
Because I think with BAST, particularly with the course we did, because it was quite comprehensive.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just about teaching us how to use our instruments. It was also about developing us as facilitators.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really important, because when you're working with sound, you know, people might have this idea that it's all about just, you know, you go to something like a sound bath and you get to relax and everything is okay. But as we know, sound can be like a really powerful transformer and can really just evoke, you know, so many things and really act as a mirror for our own consciousness. And to be able to, I guess, invest the time in really cultivating our skills as practitioners, I think is incredibly valuable. We spent a lot of time really looking at exploring, you know, how people resonate with sound in different ways, how to find meaning in their experience and how to guide them to, you know, finding that own understanding within themselves rather than telling them what it means. So I think it was a really great place to start, and I really recommend that anyone who's interested in sound work look at what they have on offer.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And so we did together the group sound therapy, and there was some great modalities in that. We learned about sound baths, soundscapes, the drum narrative.
Yeah, we did that conflict resolution with drumming, which was really intense and powerful. And we did sonic art. That was a lot of fun.
That's right. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I can't remember if we were in the same group for that. I remember being with another friend of ours, Heather. And it was just amazing stuff.
Yeah. And then we both did the one-to-one practitioner diploma.
Yeah.
And
that was the following year.
Mm. Yeah. And then you came back and did a couple of the other modalities. What are those ones?
Yeah, so we did one-to-one gong therapy. Which was really awesome. I really enjoyed that training. Again, it borrows from a lot of principles of like the other methods with BAST training, but again, just sort of deepens that. And, it's a different experience again when you're working predominantly with gongs. And I also did tuning fork therapy with BAST.
Yeah.
Which, again, was fantastic. That method of tuning fork therapy, because I also do acutonics as well, and they're both very different, but both incredibly awesome.
Yep.
With the BAST method of tuning fork therapy, you're using kinesiology techniques to muscle test what forks need to be used and where and how and all those kind of details. But it's really great for working in the field, shifting limiting beliefs, addressing fears and phobias, you know, and just working more on the kind of emotional and, I guess, psychological level and the subtle body level, which, you know, can obviously influence the physicality as well. Yeah, but I really love both of those trainings. And as you know, like with BAS, there's a whole heap of case study work and you know, so it's quite comprehensive.
Yeah, it's interesting too. Did you find doing all these trainings that you have your own stuff come up to work through as you go? I did.
Yeah, I think so in some ways. For me, like I've been on such a journey from quite a young age of like constant inner reflection and looking and basically picking everything apart, and finding a way to build it all back up together again. So I think by the time I came into sound therapy, for me it was more a journey of really getting past my fears. It really challenged me in that way, and occasionally some things would sort of come up. But also with even with like Aurasoma, the color care modality I work with, you know, the whole basis behind that kind of marries in with the principle of BAST, where, you know, in BAST, the sound becomes the mirror. In the color therapy, the color is the mirror, and your consciousness is projected onto those things and used as a tool for, you know, self-reflection. So I kind of found when I got into Aurasoma, there was a lot of that process unfolding as well. So when it came to sound and going through that training, it was more about just getting out of my own way, getting through those phobias of sharing. Yeah, I mean, even I came and did your chakra sounds. I can't remember exactly what it was called,
It was
but
called Sounding the Chakras.
sounding the chakras, yeah. And I kind of did that with you before going into the BAS training, because I knew that I kind of needed to warm myself up a little bit. And you probably remember how, you know, even in that group situation, like for me to pick up a drum and make a noise was just like, it was something that I had a lot of fear about. And even things like, you know, public speaking, I've always been fine one to one, but any situation where I could potentially attract attention and have people looking at me was always where my kind of fear would come up. And then, yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, I think whenever you're working with people, there's always things that sort of happen that kind of lead you deeper into yourself and kind of act as that mirror. Yeah, it was definitely yeah, a huge catalyst for change, which I was very grateful for. Yeah.
Amazing. And you have gone on to do, so you've gone on to do study with the Accutonics and also further study with gongs. And I definitely think about gongs when I think back, I think about all your gongs, but maybe, you know, amongst other things, I do just think, oh, Beck's beautiful gongs. I just want to lie down and get them around me.
Yeah, I hope I can share them with you again. Like we live at opposite ends of Adelaide, don't we? And yeah, this makes it a bit tricky. Yeah, so
Accutonics. Tell me
so
about that.
I started Accutonics training last year. And that was I've got a bit of a background story with Accutonics actually. So when Accutonics first came to Australia, I saw the advert for training wherever it was. It wasn't in Adelaide, it was interstate somewhere. I saw the training for it in a Self magazine, and I was just so attracted to it. I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing and incredible. I'd love to do that. But at the time, there were just so many obstacles. Like, I didn't have the finances, I couldn't get the time off work. It was just roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. So I kind of just, again, put it aside. And other doors started opening up. So I kind of followed those doors that were open and, you know, did a whole bunch of stuff. And then there came a point in time where, you know, occasionally acoustics would come back into my awareness and I'd be like, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm already working with sound. Like, that's enough for me. And for those that don't know, acoustics is a tuning fork-based system. It works with all the planetary frequencies as well as asteroid frequencies and the luminaries like the sun and the moon. And it also works through the acupuncture system. So you're using tuning forks on acupuncture points. So there's a whole study into traditional Chinese medicine with acoustics. And because the forks are planetary tuned, there's also that learning of astrological archetypes. And all of these things I kind of independently studied. So I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe I can just leave acoustics aside because I've already kind of self-studied astrology and, you know, I'm happy with what I've discovered there. And through my work with the light pen, that has its basis in traditional Chinese medicine and uses the acupuncture system. And I'd obviously already done a lot of sound therapy training and was working with tuning forks. So I was like, nah, I'm pretty complete with this. I'm okay. And then it was, so we're in 2021 now. So it must have been towards the end of 2019. And it just started coming back into my awareness, not because I was seeing it online or anything. It's just, you know, I'd be doing my housework or something and it would kind of be there. And my first thought was, oh, no. And I say, oh, no, because, again, it's a big commitment. Acoustics is like a huge body of training. There's like 9 levels of training. Plus at the end of all of that, you know, you've got all your case studies and a thesis project to hand in. And wow. And it's a lot of tools as well. And as you know, Michelle, I've already got so much.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking of the practical aspect of it, thinking, oh, do I really want to make this investment? And it just wouldn't leave. It just kept nagging at me. I signed up to do level 1 and level 2 in Byron Bay at the beginning of 2020. And then with, you know, COVID, I was so fortunate that it ended up going online. So I kind of approached it thinking, oh, I'll just do level 1 and level 2. And if I don't do the rest of it, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll just take it as it comes. And it was sort of like a very distant dream that I would ever work through the whole thing. But with it going online, like I was able to work through pretty much all of the curriculum over that time. So, and it's extensive. There's a lot invested in exploring the archetypes of the planets and the myths. You do, you know, one of the levels is looking at pathology from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective. You have like the fundamentals of TCM to explore. So it was huge. I was fortunate that I'd already had such a background that for me it kind of all came together very easily. But I think back to myself when I first saw acoustics and think, oh, my goodness, like how do people kind of come to this and take it all in, because it's so multi-layered and so much information, like it's a lot. But that's been really valuable training too. And it's given me, you know, with all the other modalities, we kind of have to, that I practice, I've always had to dance around the physical application of it. So with acoustics, you know, you can straight out say you're working to influence the energetics within the body. You can make more of that distinct relationship rather than, as I said, kind of dancing around, you know, that kind of idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's quite direct.
Yeah, it's nice. Pretty incredible, and I've really loved, you know, taking that on as another modality. And also, you know, I work in a very integrated way, so everything that I do kind of just comes together and sits really well with, you know, everything else. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you're a beautiful practitioner, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
So how many gongs have you got now these days?
7.
Did they just grow babies?
They had babies
well?
Too. yeah.
What are your gongs? Tell us about your gongs.
So I have a beautiful Sound Creation Earth gong, which is really deep and, yeah, it just has a really dark sound that's it just feels like a hug from the Earth Mother. It's gorgeous. I have a Sun gong, a Venus gong, a Saturn gong. I have a symphonic, which is approximately an F sharp note. I have a Fung gong, and I have one of the newer Paiste gongs. They recently released a range of copper based gongs, and I have the water gong, and it's just gorgeous. I really hope I get to share that with you at some time, because it's just beautiful. Sorry, not copper, bronze gongs, but they have a high copper content.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my collection of gongs, and each gong that I have kind of has a story. I found that with a lot of, you know, things that I've kind of acquired, like there's always a story behind it, and it's always symbolic of something that's kind of played out in life. And I really love that. So there were a few times where I'm like, okay, I'm done. No more gongs. This is ridiculous.
Because they're not just little gongs, they're big gongs.
I mean, right? When Ben and I were looking for a house together, we literally had to consider, you know, our biggest consideration was needing a space where we could fit all our instruments. I'm sure it's the same for you and James.
Yeah, like that, it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah. So I've stopped telling myself no more gongs, because I know that as soon as I say that, something else kind of will start to kind of speak to me. Mm. So I'm just leaving it open now. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is so amazing about gongs? What is it about gongs that draws you?
For me personally, I think it was just that feeling of home. Yeah. And when I play the gong, particularly for myself, it's just that heart expansion, that connection. It's that feeling of home. It's that feeling of being at one with everything. It's that feeling of being like here in the world and really present, but also completely expanded out through the whole cosmos. Like, you know, it's and it's also really great for dissolving constructs and limitations and resolving blockages. You know, for someone who has a lot of density within themselves, like it just can, if they're in a place where they're able to just surrender to the sound, and even if they can't, the gong will really kind of extend that invitation, just like, just let go, just open and explore the possibilities. And I think that's why it has such a special place in my heart, because it's so many things. You know, so many things. And I love the complexity of the sound, you know, because you have the fundamental note of a gong, which then kind of, you know, creates this spiral of harmonics that create more harmonics that create more harmonics. And when you have more than one gong kind of playing together, the sound just keeps expanding and spiraling out. And it's incredible. When I did training with Don Conroe a couple of years ago, I remember he kind of likened the gong sound to like a Fibonacci kind of spiral, and it just kind of keeps self-propagating. With all those beautiful harmonics. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, so you, that's other gong training that you've done.
Yeah.
So Don Conroe, he's a gong master.
Yeah.
From the UK? No, from America. The US?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to play with him as well when he was here in Adelaide doing a concert, and that was really awesome. He was so beautiful. Yeah. And and it was interesting because he has a very different style and a very different teaching method to, you know, Bast or, you know, other things that are out there.
Yeah.
And I remember connecting to Don kind of reminded me to just play the gong how I naturally played it, which was to just completely, you know, it's not that my style had changed so much, but I think when I did the one-to-one gong training, like I remember one instance where I wasn't told off, but I was told to watch my posture because my traditional style of playing the gong would be to just move and flow and use my body as I'm playing the gong. And after that, I don't know, that comment just kind of got in, and I kind of became really, I just noticed I became a little bit rigid when I was playing, which kind of altered my experience. And so when I connected with Don, it was just like, I don't know, like just a very gentle little reset. And when we finished that concert, he kind of came up to me with a big smile, and he said something along the lines of that the way that I played the gong was just really special and something, really beautiful, and that I have a unique way, a unique connection with the gong. And he also told me that I needed to teach, which was one of those things I put on the back burner. It's kind of just like put aside because I don't know what to do with that. But it was just really nice to have that moment with him in that time. And I had, so I can't even remember where it was, to be honest. I think I went to New South Wales maybe to do a gong intensive with him, and I don't even remember how long it was for or anything really. But it was fun. It was nice. And I met some really beautiful people there. So, yeah.
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 Oh, nice. Mm. Do you know about the physiological things that are happening when we lay down in front of a gong or even listen through headphones? Is it the same effect, do you think?
I think I would love it to be, but I don't know. I'm kind of in two minds because there's that part of me that knows that vibration is vibration and you don't need to, you know, it's just things can influence things without being present. But there is something so special when you're in the full vibration of the sound. It's like when you're at a concert and you're up near the front and you've just got the sound of the, you've got the bass like rattling everything inside of you, and you just have this like visceral experience, and it's just like, it's really incredible. You just don't get that in the same way. Like even if you were to listen to music at home really loud, it's just a very different experience. It's still fun and enjoyable and wonderful, but it's not quite the same. And I think that's the same with the gong. And even with recording the gongs, I found that to be really, really tricky for so many different reasons. But there's only so much, I think, that the mics can kind of pick up. And sometimes, you know, you're either getting distortion on the kind of really low frequency sounds or you're, you know, the high end of the sounds. It just... the spectrum of sound is so big and so broad that it's really hard just to record. And something kind of does get a little, you have to make a compromise somewhere. And I don't like making compromises. So I kind of think, you know, if you have the opportunity, like just be with it and have that full experience because it can be life-changing. It really can. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of other instruments which are much better suited to translating. But yeah, for me personally, when it comes to the gong, I just doesn't work in the same way. Mm. Still beautiful to hear.
Yeah.
But it's even better in real life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Go to your nearest gong practitioner.
Yes.
And Beck, what's happening physiologically? I'm sure someone who knows this stuff. What is happening physiologically when you lie down and someone plays a beautiful gong?
Yeah.
Or seven.
So so I think it depends on also how the gong is being played. So I think if if you're working with like a really deep gong and if you're playing that gong in a very gentle rhythmic way, I think that has a really beautiful effect on calming the nervous system down and just opening up the nervous system to allow for new experiences. Because our nervous system can get so entrained to stress and to, those experiences that really shake us, that it can kind of become hardwired. And when you kind of are in that safe space with a really beautiful deep gong that's just gently and rhythmically moving through you, it kind of helps to entrain the nervous system and just goes, okay, you can breathe, you can relax, it's a safe space. So I think that, that's one effect that you can have with a gong when it's played in a certain way. In another way, you can really excite the system and activate the system and switch everything on. So it kind of really depends on how it's being played. One thing that I do think with a gong is that as it moves through you, because the sound wants that clear pathway, it wants that flow, if it kind of comes up against any sort of density within the physicality, whether that be physical pain or injury, or whether that be like density from an unresolved emotional experience, as the sound kind of moves through you, it sort of pushes up against that density and it may create like a little friction before that construct is then kind of dissolved. Or sometimes shattered, or just pulled apart in a way that makes it more malleable, so it's less dense, and then the sound continues to flow. And I think, I was talking to someone the other day saying how it kind of, helps to kind of break down those crystalline structures in the body to reformat those energies so they come together in a more organized way. I guess it's like those experiments with water and sound and, and you see all those kind of beautiful geometries, perfect geometries forming within the water. And I think that's kind of what happens within our cellular structure. It kind of helps to bring everything into a new new state of alignment, and we have that opportunity to kind of step into that and hold that for ourselves, or we can kind of make the choice to step out of it and and kind of alter that pattern to maybe something that's not as conducive to well-being and health and all that sort of stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I don't psychically see things all the time, but when I do, what I see is that kind of opening up of the pathways and the things coming together and, And I think, when you take the gong into that fire, it can really just have that effect of just really opening everything up very quickly. And sometimes you need to be aware of when to do that for someone. You know, it's a bit hard to kind of mediate in a group situation, but, you know, when you're working one-on-one with someone, there really is a time and a place to take the sound to those different polarities, I guess you could say. Yeah.
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 Yes. Powerful instrument.
Absolutely. I think all instruments are really powerful. Because really our resonance, our relationship with the sound is always going to be different. And, you know, you hear people talk about like this instrument being the most powerful or that instrument being the most powerful. But really everything is kind of equal. It's more about how it's used, in what way, and the timing of that sound. You know, I've had people have a life-changing moment with a gong, but then sometimes it's just the tiniest little twinkle of that koshi chime or that beat of the drum or that, you know, just that little sparkle of a rain stick that has that power for them, because it's connecting into something within their psyche or within their, you know, inner being that's really speaking to them, you know, in that moment. And ultimately that's where the power is. It's about that resonance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you incorporate voice into all this work? Because you talked about sort of, I guess, coming from being someone who didn't use your voice much or wasn't singing and that sort of stuff early on. And, yeah, I'd love to hear sort of how did you find your voice and how do you use it now?
So, yeah, so again, I had a huge phobia about using my voice.
You're not alone. As many people have felt that.
Yeah, it was really a journey. Like I said, I loved to sing when I was little, and always sung to myself. But sharing that with someone else would just be like my throat would just close up, and I just couldn't make it work. And when we did the practitioner level training, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was on the very first night, and we were doing like icebreaker exercises. And in that level of training is when Liz starts introducing voice work. And we did this game where we were like passing the tone. And I didn't know that's what we were doing at the time. She's just like, everyone make a circle. We're just going to do an activity. And I happened to just be standing right next to her. And she's like, okay, we're going to do this passing the tone. And because I was the one standing next to her on her left, it was like I was the first one in the group that had to make a sound with my voice. And, oh, my gosh, I was petrified. And I could feel myself just freezing and then just going like, nah, I just have to pull something out. And I did, but it was very shaky and very, very uncomfortable for me. And I really struggled with my voice on that level, but I knew that it would be okay. I knew that if I just kept pushing, I would find some confidence. And then shortly after that, I was actually doing a neurosoma course called Color as Consciousness. And I received some spontaneous activations on that course. And I remember at one point I was just sitting with a bottle and something happened and something kind of happened around my throat. And it was, you know, I won't go into detail, but I knew that, that was going to support me in moving forward with my voice. And yeah, then it just sort of, it started coming a little bit more easier. I was more comfortable exploring it just on my own. Yeah, then I remember doing an event where I was asked to sing something on my own unaccompanied. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. And I said, look, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, we just continue on. And I managed to just pull it out in the moment. And it was the first time I'd actually shared my voice in a group setting. It was like 83 people in the room. And so it was a massive, massive thing for me to actually step up and do. And after that, I received so many compliments, like people coming up to me after saying, oh my God, how long have you been doing that for? And, your voice is amazing and this and that. And I'm just like, I didn't know what to do with that because, you know, it to them it was something that seemed so natural, but I knew my story with it. And and I think from that moment, like, the fear kind of just dropped away. And so these days, like, when I'm using my voice, I really just kind of open up and just let the sound come. So I tend not to use songs or anything like that. It's just, I guess it's just a channeling of frequency, and it's like a soul language. And usually the experience that people have when they hear that is like their soul coming home. And and it feels, I guess, a bit like a soul retrieval kind of thing is happening. And something is kind of, you know, a part of them is coming home to themselves and integrating. And so I use my voice a lot in sound baths, obviously, and in my private practice. I use it to sometimes if I can't, you know, if an instrument isn't calling and I need to dissolve something in the body, then I might just get that sense of, I need to use my voice for this. And then I'll tone directly into the body and just have come through whatever comes through in the moment. And I've been really lucky. Like, even, you know, there are moments where you just feel a little bit run down or you just don't have that thing in you on that day. And I've always been worried, like, oh, is my voice going to come out if I try? And thankfully to this day, it's kind of, it's always been there, even in my most vulnerable moments. And I think it, when I'm able to do that, it really reminds me of that strength that I have within myself and that that's always there, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I should probably have voice lessons because I'm not really sure of, like, the mechanics of the voice. And, you know, sometimes I get concerned that, oh, what if I'm not using my voice correctly and, you know, I'm doing some sort of damage or, you know, something like that. So I might get some voice training at some point in the future just to make sure that I'm using it correctly.
Yeah. Well, I do know a good vocal teacher.
Yeah, I was thinking of you, Michelle.
Nice. So I was wondering, have you got stuff online that people can access?
Not so much. Going back to what we were saying earlier about recording and stuff, I just haven't been able to get that quality that I really am looking for. And quality is really important to me. Having said that, what I do have online is just, you know, little snippets of gong playing that, you know, I've just got up on YouTube and a few on my website and that I share on my social media pages. And they're just recorded on my phone, and I kind of feel a bit more forgiving when it comes to that because the intention is different, you know. It's just there to kind of pique people's interest rather than be something like, hey, this is a proper recording that, you know. So I don't really have too much online. There is like a meditation that I recorded, which, I really hope to get the opportunity to do more of that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, guided meditations and activations. They're using more like synthesized sound. My partner, he does a lot with modular synthesizers, and they have, you know, when you're working with kind of more analog sounds, they kind of feel a bit more, I don't know, human, I guess, rather than being sounds that are like digitally created. So they kind of have like warmth and, you know, a lot of character. And we went down the route of trying to record some instruments as a background for my verbal meditations and processes, but just wasn't happy, and we kind of felt like that was perhaps the better way to go about it because we had more control over the sound itself and it wasn't making any compromises. I'm hoping to do more of that. He's really busy so we don't get much studio time together.
And sometimes you guys perform together.
Yeah, we do.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Ben and I perform together as Palisites. And for those that don't know, Palisite is a rare meteor. It's really beautiful. And being that we're two Pisces and we're both really creative and, you know, really cosmically kind of connected, we thought that that was a really that name kind of just came. It was like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So when we perform together, it's not really for the purpose of meditation or anything like that. It's more just for me, it's an opportunity to express myself in a different way. Using instruments like crystal bowls and gongs is what I tend to use when we perform. And Ben uses modular synth and drum machines and other sorts of things. And we kind of, yeah, just, I don't know, weave this experience together, which is, you know, very much a journey in itself. But doesn't always have to necessarily be relaxing and meditative. We kind of go to those places and we start off with like more kind of textural kind of sounds and then we kind of progress to, you know, we kind of take it into more like dance rhythms and just get pretty crazy there for a while before we kind of bring it back down. So it's a really interesting experience. And I think it combines our two worlds together in a way that's very unique to us. And yeah, it's just something we love doing. So we, our performances are actually very rare. They don't happen often. And it's always a one-off experience. But we have one in July, which, yeah, by the time this kind of goes, we'll have been and gone. But, yeah, one of the most memorable experiences we had was playing the RCC Fringe in, I think it was 2019. My years get so confused these days. And we played as part of the Adelaide Techno Convention. And it was in like a cinema on the Adelaide Uni grounds. And, yeah, it was just such an incredible experience. And, yeah, it's exciting to be able to bring sound to people that would probably never think of going to a sound bath. It's a completely different audience. Because the people that we kind of have performed to are more into like electronic music, techno, you know, more that sort of stuff. So to be able to give them an experience like that is, yeah, has been very welcomed by that community. And, yeah, we just love doing it. And it kind of, yeah, it takes it more into like an experimental music kind of place, I guess, which reminds me actually of in Adelaide we have an experimental music night at the Metro, and a couple of years ago I was invited to play gongs there, and that was really awesome because I was sort of I was prepared for the worst, to be honest. It's in a pub, you know, in the city in a weeknight. Yeah. And and I was sort of expecting to play to like an empty room and to maybe even get a little heckled because it wasn't maybe what people were wanting from their Wednesday night out. And when I started, like the room just had a few of my friends in, and obviously because I'm playing gongs, you know, my back is turned to the audience, and so I was just lost for half an hour just playing. And when I stopped and turned around, like the room was filled with people, like it was packed. You could barely move. And the audience hadn't made a single peep the whole time. They were just so absorbed in the sound. And, yeah, that was really special because, again, it's taking something like the gong into a place where you would never expect to really have that kind of experience. And, yeah, there was just something really special about that.
Yeah. One of my questions I usually ask towards the end is, I think you've almost already covered it. I can read into what you've been saying, but the question is, who do you think benefits from playing or immersing in healing music and sound?
Yeah, anyone, everyone, and everything. Like, yeah. It's not just about us as humans. It's about what we put out into the world, how sound changes our environment. I work predominantly from home, and I have my one-to-one practice at home, and I do sound baths from home, and then I go out to do sound baths, you know, other places. But working with sound in the home, it just has this beautiful neutralizing quality, and it just really keeps the space clear and aligned. And yeah, obviously I do a lot of other energy work, but when people walk into my home, they're like, wow, the energy here just feels so clear. And it's because I'm working so much with sound, I think. it just keeps the energy really, you know, neutral. And I've also shared sound with people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
At all stages of, you know, so many different stages of their life journey. I've shared it with people who are really quite conservative, or people who are quite traditionally, for lack of a better word, religious. You know, and then you have the opportunity to work with people who are working through, you know, pretty heavy trauma or addiction, or, you know, working with children. And it always just has such a profound impact. Because it bypasses language and it creates connection. And I think in this day and age, like, connection is so important. It always has been, but it's becoming even more important to experience connection, I think. You know, there's so many messages out there that tell us we're separate, and I think sound is such a unifying force. And it's not just about bringing people together in that experience, but it kind of brings you back together within yourself, and it kind of reminds you of your own wholeness, and it can shift your relationship to the world around you and how you experience all those things that are outside of yourself, you know. So it's incredible.
So, Beck, do you have a personal practice that helps you stay well mentally and or physically?
Yeah, so my life kind of revolves around a high level of self-care. So I'm someone that has to invest a lot of time and energy to keep myself not so much mentally and emotionally well, but physically well. And I use a lot of different tools. Obviously, sound is a huge part of my practice. But I also, you know, all the modalities that I work with are things that I integrate into my day-to-day life. I really kind of walk the talk, so to speak. I love using EFT. I love combining EFT with tuning forks. That's like a daily thing for me, because I find it just helps to set me up for the day. And then when there's, you know, more specific challenges going on, I find that really easy and accessible to just do. And yeah, you know, all the normal things, like, you know, just eating really clean and nourishing my body, and, you know, I like having regular saunas and just anything that that kind of supports me in, you know, having more energy and but it's it is very much, I think self-care is very much a day-to-day practice, and what you put in, you know, you do get back. And as I said, as someone whose life really does revolve around self-care, if I didn't have those self-care practices in place, like, I'd be nothing to anyone. So it's really important for anyone to really invest in themselves, because you do yourself you do others a huge service by keeping yourself clear and topped up. And if you're facilitating, if you're guiding others on their path, then it's even more important that you're in a space where you have the mental and the emotional clarity as well as the physical energy to really be that presence for other people and to lead through example. Yeah.
Where can people connect with you online?
Yeah, so I, first of all, I operate under two business names, which is a bit confusing. I have sonicembrace.com, which basically covers all my sound healing work. And I also have a page on Facebook under Sonic Embrace. And then I have a blissfulexistence.com, which is, you know, that's kind of where you can see all the modalities that I practice, all my artwork, all my workshops, everything is kind of on that website there. And I also have a Facebook page under A Blissful Existence, and that's my Instagram page as well. So, yeah, everything can kind of be found there. It just got to a point where there was so much that it was hard to integrate it all into one website. I was like, what do I do here? Yeah.
you do have so much incredible work that you do and your art as well. And yeah, definitely recommend if people are in Adelaide, they go have a session with you, or if you come and visit Adelaide, go and have a lovely session with Beck. You will not regret it. Yeah. So if you are listening whilst driving, the next little part of this, you will need to stop listening, because I recommend when listening to this podcast that there's some of the practices that happen at the end that you do when you are at home, and you can relax in a chair or lying down. So if you're in your car, press pause. We can come back later. If you're at home and you can continue listening, we're going to have a few minutes of Beck playing beautiful gong and flute for us. So I recommend that you find somewhere comfortable to sit down or lie down and take some nice deep breaths and just relax and enjoy these beautiful sounds. Thank you, Beck.
Yeah, so that was my sound creation Earth Gong that I played. And the flute is a Southern Cross flute. And yeah, that one's tuned to like an F sharp scale. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about music, to be honest, like the kind of like terminology and stuff. But yeah, it's a really beautiful flute, and it has like a sunstone in it. Oh. So my intention when I play that flute is always just to really warm the heart and, bring that love and bring that nurturing to the heart space. Mm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful follow-on from the gong. So lovely. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been lovely to chat and catch up and
Yeah, and I'm sure we could chat all day, but alas.
We definitely could.
So, thank you and many blessings and see you soon.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Many blessings to you.
And thanks for listening,
everyone. And to everyone listening.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. All right, bye for now.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Shanti Sound podcast. You can access all of the show notes at shantisound.com.au/podcast. I would love you to subscribe, like, comment, or leave a review wherever you're listening. And connect with me on Instagram at shanti_sound and Facebook at Shanti Sound Australia. The music and sounds featured in the intro and outro are excerpts from the Shanti Sound Soundbath CD, recorded and produced by Michelle and James Byrne. You can download this and other music by Michelle and James Byrne at shantisound.com.au/music. Remember, sound brings healing and presence. The truest and sweetest sound comes from within. So hum, sing, and create sound whenever you can. Thanks for listening. I look forward to sharing with you again soon.